And speaking of things in that new technology world, the Twitter world is in fact, well, a Twitter this afternoon after word came through that the Saudi billionaire Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal has taken a $300 million stake in Twitter, in its service. And this will give him more than a 3% stake in that microblogging website. So what does it mean, if anything, to Twitter's millions of users? If you're a tweeter, will anything change? Still, Gerrion is a technology writer and broadcaster. Still, good afternoon.
G'day, Lindy.
Does it matter who owns it?
Look, in this case, I think not. Prince Al-Waleed has invested in all sorts of technology companies over the years. Apple some years ago, America Online, Motorola and so on. He's pretty much a hands-off kind of shareholder. He's a long-term investor, and he's been compared to America's Warren Buffett as, you know, having sort of this long-term view of investing and having billions of dollars to throw around.
So it's just simply, it's just a business. It's a business decision for him. He hasn't got any particular interest in changing the way in which Twitter is used.
I wouldn't have thought so. He seems to have left the companies he's invested in the past, just left them to do their own thing.
So 3%, though, isn't particularly a great share. I mean, would he have any say at all in what actually happens with it?
To be honest, not really in that situation. We're still at the case where Twitter is still a private company. Its founders are still very much big shareholders, and they're going to have the say.
And how does this compare, say, to Facebook and the way in which it's owned these days and the wide variety of people and organisations that are involved in that?
Well, it's good to compare this to Facebook because, I mean, Facebook is, you know, the obvious big gorilla on the block with, I think we're up to 800 million users now. That's active users. So we're getting on to being the dominant force on the internet. Facebook's being valued probably around the $100 billion mark, and this valuation on Twitter puts it about the $8 billion mark.
Right.
So significantly less. Twitter has, you know, a lot less people. But interestingly, this is another of those kind of internet company valuations. I mean, if we think Twitter is worth $8 billion, it's worth remembering their revenue probably is only going to be about $100 million this year. So, you know, they have yet to show anything remotely like breaking even, let alone a profit.
But is the reason for its worth, though, based on potential future earnings, where people think it's going?
Exactly that. There's this sense that once you build a service like Twitter or Facebook and it becomes an absolutely essential part of people's lives, then they'll stay with it. Then you can start doing things like sell advertising, which Twitter has just started experimenting with that, with sponsored tweets from some larger American brands. And, you know, it's the early days yet for a service like this, but still I often, you know, question this whole, hey, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I thought businesses had to make a profit eventually.
Not in this new world.
Yeah, it is a new world, and in a sense, this is also like another boom in Silicon Valley after we've had, I suppose, one or two little dot-com booms, and we're having another. There's been some amazing valuations of companies that have attracted huge audiences, and people go, wow, you've got, you know, this many hundreds of thousands of, or millions of users, and that must be worth something. So we have seen some pretty hefty share floats just in the last 12 months. But there's also a sense of, gee, if some of them being overpriced again, are we going to have another of these bubbles that burst again? And that's, I think, going to be a bit of a theme for next year. There's a few floats coming up. Twitter, oh, I don't know whether they will or won't this coming year. Facebook, they keep saying they will or won't float on the share market. Zynga did on Friday. Zynga are the people behind the Facebook games Farmville and Mafia Wars.
Mm-hmm.
They were valued at $1 billion when they floated just on Friday. And it sounds good until you realise they actually wanted $10 for the share. But by the end of the day, they were down to $9.50, and they've apparently dropped a bit further since then. So, you know, people are being a bit more cautious this time around.
Well, I hope so, to be honest. And because I think the thing we need to learn is if you're sort of going in preemptively where you have a picture in your mind or a figure in your mind about how much you think things are worth, that's kind of based, and just going back to the whole idea too of, you know, putting sponsored tweets into the Twitter sphere, Which then starts to undermine the very attraction of Twitter in the first place. You know, so then people will start to go, hang on, I don't know if I really want to be a part of this. That's why people are moving away from Facebook, I think. You know, moving into something that they see to be very clean and very open. But if it starts to become more of a sponsored thing, then they move on to whatever the next thing that the groundswell is going to bring about. So, it's an interesting scheme here.
Exactly. And it's that, you know, when is advertising appropriate in certain social spaces? Now, in the physical world, we know that if we go to a shopping mall, we can expect to see advertising. We can expect to have people come up to us and hand out a leaflet or something, but not in other social situations like a church or a family picnic in the park or, you know, all of those kind of environments. Online, you know, we're still discovering some of those social rules as we go along. And I think you're right. I too have this feeling that, gee, that more intimate conversation of Twitter is not the kind of place you expect advertising to turn up.
Yeah. And if you start, you know, basing your value on what you kind of can get from those advertisers, then you're starting to lose the people that they can advertise to.
Well,
which
that's
is
right.
Stupid.
I suppose another thing Twitter could do to generate money, and they're doing some of this already, is making this vast volume of information available for people to do data mining on them and find out people's preferences and so on. So there's little things like if you go to search back in Twitter yourself, we can only go back a few days in the search, but people who pay the money, well, they can dig back through the entire database and see, you know, how many people prefer Ford versus Holden or all that sort of debate.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's getting into murky territory for user as well. But maybe I'm just a private person still. Thank you, by the way, for all of your contributions to the program this year. We've really appreciated talking to you, and I'm looking forward to doing it again next year.
Well, my pleasure, Lindy, and you have a great Christmas and a good holiday.
You too, indeed. Still Geriant, technology writer and broadcaster, and good to have him part of the program, especially looking at the way in which this whole world moves so rapidly. A new Silicon Valley bubble, well, they learned from the last couple that went a little bust.